Thank you for indulging me. I wanted to show that clip for a few reasons. One is because I thought it'd be great fun to start a sermon with a clip such as that. Secondly, it's a great way to start a film, and it's a great way to make a big announcement. And thirdly, it links us in with our passage tonight that there is good news. And that is good news worth celebrating. It is worth just, I know it's a tenuous link, but I thought, well, what film represents a great announcement? And I think that does it, because in that film, after that, you know that there's worth paying attention to. It's worth sitting up and saying, okay, something big is about to happen. And that's what happens at the beginning of Mark's Gospel. Mark's Gospel starts, if you take a look at it, the beginning of the good news about Jesus Christ the Messiah, the Son of God. I don't know whether Mark would have thought of a theme tune to start his gospel, but maybe something like that would have been appropriate. Dancing, great big lights, trumpets, a big band, a great big announcement, a wonderful announcement. Because when we have that big announcement, we sit up and we pay attention. And that's what Mark is doing at the beginning of the gospel. He says there, look, Mark 1, verse 1, beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God. It's good news. In fact, the gospel there, the Greek is euangelion, which I'm liably told means good news. It's an announcement. In fact, it's what the Roman emperor, as they were born, the parents would say, gospel, that the Roman emperor has been born. It's gospel. But Mark takes it much more into a Christian form. It's much more than just good news about a baby, which is good news. We want to share that good news. But this word gospel that we hear, it's Christian jargon, we hear it every day at church. And sometimes when we hear these things repeated over and over, it begins to lose its impact, its power. And so I want to look at this word gospel again slightly differently tonight, because Mark is doing something quite significant with it. And so this Greek word gospel, euangelion, I think I'm pronouncing that correctly. I always get really nervous when Christos is in and out, because a Greek scholar here, and then I'm trying to teach Greek. But anyway, I hope I get this right. He can correct me if I'm wrong. And there's also Christina there as well. So we're in good company here. But we can see that that's where we get our word evangelical from, or evangelism. It's a sense in which there's good news. We are an evangelical church. We are a church of good news. We are a church that proclaims the good news of Jesus. And we'll look at that a bit more later. And so this word, gospel, we call it in the English, is good news. It's an announcement. But there's something more subtle going on as well. So if you look at the next part, here Mark is, in verse 2, talking and referring to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3. It says, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. Just 6 verses later in Isaiah, that same chapter, we discover the Hebrew equivalent of this word gospel, basar or basara, which in the Hebrew translates again into good news. But it's a subtle difference. It's not just the announcement in that sense. It's the cry after battle. It's a deliverance cry. You'd imagine maybe D-Day or VE Day, that sense of relief. The war is over. Basara, or gospel, as Mark might have it. So there's overtones and there's a rich meaning in this word gospel that Mark is using right there at the beginning of this book. I guess for us it's a bit like I felt at the end of school term in the summer when you know you've got 6 weeks off. It's like, yes, we're free, it's a new season. The teacher's powers are useless against me for 6 weeks. It's that God's kingdom is breaking into this world. It's a new dimension. And that's the kind of battle cry, that the victory has been won. That's the context in Isaiah that Mark is alluding to. And it's God's kingdom breaking in to this world, bringing freedom and release from captivity. That's why it's good news. It's not just the news about a baby. It's about fundamentally a change in the dynamic of the world. So Mark's use of the word gospel is rich with meaning. It's about good news of God's perfect rule breaking into this world. And the way in which this news breaks into the world is in the person and the work of God's Son, Jesus Christ. Look there, it says in verse 1, doesn't it? The good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God. The gospel then is about the good news of Jesus, about God's kingdom living in Jesus, present in his very being, and then manifest and realized and actualized in his work as he goes around meeting everyday people like you and me in the marketplace, in the synagogue, as we saw in the passage. The gospel then is synonymous with the person of Jesus and the work of Jesus. And understood in these terms, It is a dynamic force that changes the history of the world as we know it. The gospel is the power of God activated and realized through his Son, Jesus. So there's two things I want to set up before we dive into the passage. That the gospel is God's salvation plan, the work of Christ, if you like. Beth was praying a little earlier, and as we saw, we can see the world desperate in need. We see the world in desperate need to receive God's kingdom. Hunger, conflict, poverty, people caught up in a world that is so badly hurting, sometimes through deliberate fault, sometimes through no fault of their own. And God's salvation plan comes and deals with these issues, what we call sin. Sin that affects the whole of creation, the planet, as we see in ecology at the moment. In our own lives, in our relationships, in our families, in our workplace. Sin has affected everything. It's polluted everything. And the gospel is God's plan to come in and sort out that pollution. Now you might think that that's an awesome task. We look around, we see projects like the Lamb Project, and we see Cure Fund, and we see those huge numbers, and we think, wow, how can that ever be changed? Human history, doesn't it? Just shows us about the amount of conflict out there. But this is why the other side of the gospel coin, the person of Jesus, is so important. Because God has invested in his Son Jesus all of his authority and power. What that means is that this gospel is utterly unstoppable, which is also good news. It's about God's power and authority breaking into this world in a way that is utterly unstoppable. See, when God says something, it becomes real. And he's spoken through Jesus, his son, that glorious salvation plan, that he's going to deal with this stuff, with sin, once and for all. And nothing is going to be able to stop that. It's what theologians describe as speech acts. When God speaks, what he speaks comes into reality. So we get a sense of that at the beginning of creation. God says, "Let there be light." And as a consequence of that speech, light appears. The universe is born. That's how powerful God is in his speech acts. We can't do that. I can't say, "Let there be light," and a light comes on. Only God can do that because he is all powerful. He says, "Let there be light," and the universe is birthed. That's the power of God. So when God speaks through his son Jesus, who proclaims the forgiveness of sins, it's a speech act that changes the world. See, the gospel is far more than just a little happy message that we take to our friends and say, "Hey, come to church and have a good time." It is as powerful as God speaking light and creation being formed. Jesus setting people free with the authority he has, with God investing that power through his son Jesus, is recreating life in people's hearts and minds, setting people free from sin. See, when Jesus pronounces forgiveness, a new reality is born, a new birth is created. And this speech act brings God's victory into the world. Jesus' death pays the penalty for sin, and his resurrection brings new life out of darkness, which means there's no situation that God cannot bring new life into. That's why it's good news. It's an unstoppable hope. It's worth getting the big band out for and celebrating. The gospel is the speech act of Jesus, and it releases people from captivity. It brings freedom from sin, from death, from evil, and it's restoring the earth and its people into right relationship with God. That is the salvation plan that Jesus has won for us. And because the gospel has God's authority invested in it, it becomes unstoppable with the same creative force that created the world in which we live. And Mark sets up this dynamic in his opening verses. So look again at verse 1. This is the gospel about Jesus Christ. This is one of the few times that Mark uses the double barrel name, Jesus and Christ. The rest of the time he just uses the word Jesus. And he's using Jesus and Christ together in this opening statement to emphasize Jesus' authority, the identity of who Jesus is, the Son of God, with the authority to enact this great speech act of the gospel into life. And the wonderful news is that Jesus does that by coming alongside everyday people like you and me. And he restores the image of God in them, their rightful image, as he pronounces this speech act of good news into people's lives. So with that in mind, let's look at our passage a bit more closely. So we can see here, I'm sorry, my formatting's gone, but in Mark 1, 21, verse 39, Jesus is here teaching God's word on the Sabbath. He's just going about his daily business, teaching in the Sabbath, on the Sabbath. And then the people were amazed at this teaching because he taught as one who had authority. He had taught as though God was speaking through him himself. And then we see, can you see this kind of speech act going on? Jesus is teaching and then the deed comes afterwards. It's almost like the deed explains the word, God's word in action. Look at verse 25. He commands this man who's possessed by the spirit. He says, "Be silent and come out." A great speech act. This is God's kingdom breaking into this person's life. He's saying, "Enough, no more evil, come out. You have no right in this person's life." Jesus is transforming that life. The Greek here, incidentally, for this "be silent, come out," again, is a technical command, and Mark is alluding here to the authority that Jesus has, because it will be a command normally issued by a deity. So the scholars tell me, at least, anyway. But what a great speech act. Here is God in Jesus speaking new life into this person's life, a man possessed for we don't know how long. But look what happens. Remember, God speaks light and light comes into being. Jesus commands it to go, this demon, and it goes. What Jesus says becomes reality. That's the command he has over every realm. It's not just this physical realm, but whatever realm we can conceive, even the spiritual realm here. Look, the Spirit pronounces, doesn't he, in verse 24, he even recognizes Jesus' authority. He shakes the man violently and then comes out with a shriek. And then, not only is authority recognized in that spiritual realm, but then in our realm as well, verse 27, sorry about my formatting, but then all the people gathered around there in that synagogue. What is this? A new teaching. And with authority, Jesus is teaching. So it's being recognized in the physical realm as well as the spiritual realm. Here we see then God's kingdom breaking into this world. The gospel being executed through Jesus, taking effect in this world. And this exorcism is appointed towards that great final victory when Jesus comes again and declares peace once and for all and destroys evil. Such is the power of the gospel. The gospel then is good news because it sets people free and it's stamped with God's authority, and therefore victory is ensured. There's no power too great for God to vanquish, no realm beyond his reach, whether it's physical or spiritual, psychological or whatever it might be. Jesus is Lord, and he's Lord of all. And that is good news, because he is good, and good wins. So this story then is ultimately about God coming in the person of Jesus to bring his presence into the hearts and lives of those who would follow Jesus. It's a story about his victory over evil and death. A story of him stepping into everyday life and setting people free from the destructive forces at work in this life. But this is when it gets even more exciting. See, just before this passage, Jesus has just called the disciples. And Mark often refers to Jesus as teacher. And there's a sense of commissioning here. We get it more fully in Matthew 28, what we call the Great Commission, when Jesus says, go and teach everyone what I've been teaching you to do. In other words, we in some way or another get to take part in God's great speech act. We get to take part in that great speech act of proclaiming the good news of Jesus. And when we do that, it's not just this nice little message. It's a gospel of power, a power to change lives, because it is Jesus active in that gospel. He will come and manifest himself, if that person is willing to let him in, to change that person's life around. It's a partnering with Jesus in that great speech act, to take part in his dynamic life, to take part in the power that he gives to us to share. That's what we celebrate at Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit empowers us to go and proclaim the gospel, to take part in that speech act that creates new life by Jesus working through us. So when we're praying for our Christian friends, let us not be timid and say, well, Lord, you know, if you could, if you would. God's will is always that people will come to faith. Of course it is. Why he created us. And when we're proclaiming the gospel, as we're sharing the gospel with our friends, let's do so confident of the victory that God has already won, praying that they would receive and begin to understand this amazing speech act in their lives for themselves. So let's think about that a little bit more. As God's agents of light, we will come across and expose darkness. It's a bit like lifting up a stone, and in the garden, and you'll see all the creepy crawlies running away from the stone. When we share the gospel, it will expose the deeds of darkness, and that can make us unpopular, and it can be a difficult thing. It can be a difficult thing for us to lift up that stone in our own hearts and allow the light of the gospel to come in and allow God to transform us. But Jesus came and just stood among those people. And he brought the power of the gospel and the hope of the gospel and the compassion of the gospel into people's lives. But we need to recognize that we are in a spiritual battle. We don't have to talk about this from the front. It's not a popular subject necessarily. And I'm conscious that about raising it in a sermon, that we must equip one another about what we do. Now, it is rare that we encounter demon possession. It's never happened to me. It may have happened to you. I don't know. But certainly, the New Testament does differentiate between illness and possession. So there's a clear distinction between the two. And as Christians, we need to be aware that we are in a spiritual battle. And as agents of light, we're following Jesus. We will encounter opposition in various forms. C.S. Lewis is really helpful on this. I'm sure you've heard this quote before, but we're not to be afraid. Why? Because of God's great speech act in the gospel. C.S. Lewis says, look, don't overestimate the power, because Jesus has won and he has the victory. But similarly, don't underestimate it, because there is power in darkness. People involved in occult, the Ouija or tarot cards, promiscuity, are opening themselves up to deeds of darkness. And Jesus wants to come in, just into the everydayness of that, and change that situation around, to bring healing, to set people free from that kind of stuff. And if that's something you've been involved in, then maybe come and pray with me at the end of the service, or send me an email, and we can do so confidentially. The good news here today is that God can set you free from any fears and restore the image of God within you today. But we don't have to run around just seeing that there's a warden before. Catherine used to say, reds under the beds. You know, we are involved in a spiritual battle, but Jesus has won. So we don't need to be fearful. We just pray and allow Jesus to do his thing. And also when we meet people, you know, if they're upset or whatever, don't necessarily go straight to demon possession. That's a fairly rare case. As I've said, I've never come across it in my time. That's not to say it doesn't happen. But don't be looking for it everywhere necessarily. But not to the point of underestimating that it does have power. But either way, we do share our faith with respect and gentleness, with a listening heart, in a way that listens to others and to the journey that they've been on. And then we just simply invite Jesus in and pray that he would set them free. And evil takes on many forms, doesn't it? Oppressive structures like apartheid or conflict or famine, abuse, whether that's domestic abuse or any other kind of abuse, addictions. These are all forms of evil and sin in one form or another. We don't have to go straight to the kind of demon possession stuff. Evil exists in many forms. But again, the gospel is good news because Jesus has won and he is able to set people free from whatever is holding them back in their walk with God. So we meet people where they're at. We meet people confident of the victory that Jesus has already won. And we pray Jesus' light into that situation with compassion and love and gentleness, and in the power of the Spirit. As we do so, we're proclaiming great speech acts, in part because Jesus is speaking through us. So as you know, at our APCM, our annual general meeting, we launched this initiative to share our faith, and this sermon series on Mark's Gospel is looking at inspirations from Mark's Gospel about how we share our faith. And tonight's title of the sermon was Authority and Sharing Our Faith, or Sharing Our Faith with Authority. If If that word gospel has become too familiar with you, that it's lost all sense of meaning, perhaps you can reflect on that this week, that this is the work of Jesus in people's lives, changing lives. Maybe that can inspire you to be on the lookout for where God is active, and you can only do that by listening. Proclamation starts with listening. If you encounter opposition, in whatever form that might be, just be prayerful and invite the Holy Spirit to come alongside you and give you the words, as Jesus says. He will give us the words whenever we need them, and rely on Him in that situation. And whether it's a very dramatic issue or a very simple issue, a good question to ask yourself is, will this person be more loved as a result of my conversation with them? Jesus ultimately came into this world to demonstrate God's love. That's the great speech act of the gospel. God's love shared with the world. A love that knows no limits. And a love that seeks out the lost. As we've been singing, we must go to feed the hungry, to stand up for justice. And we do so with the gospel alive in our hearts, because Jesus is alive in our hearts. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, would you come into each of our hearts? Would you help us to be open about what you want to do in our lives? And Lord, I want to pray for any of us who are wrestling with issues that are holding us back. Whether they're dramatic or whether they're minor. Lord Jesus, your desire is to come in and bring light and to bring hope and to bring love and to set people free and to restore the loving image of God. Holy Spirit, would you come and do that in our hearts even now? And Lord, as we seek about going out to share our faith, that we might see new people come to faith in you, would you give us ears and hearts ready to listen to what you're doing in those people's lives already, and help us to move alongside them, to listen and to love and to care, and to just gently show Jesus in that situation, and point them to the hope that we have because of the wonderful gospel he has won for us. And Lord, we'd ask that you would set them free again from anything that's holding them back to coming to faith in you. And we pray that with the authority that you have invested in us through Jesus, the authority to proclaim his name and his victory into any and every situation. Give us courageous hearts to follow. Live in us, that others may be drawn to you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.